Well, Dr. Edward Laskowski is co-director of the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center and a professor at the medical school at the Mayo Clinic. He's been on the staff of Mayo Clinic since 1990, and he specializes in sports medicine, fitness, strength training, and stability training. Welcome, Dr. Laskowski.
Thank you very much, Anne. My pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being here this evening. Well, we wanted to talk to you because we've been seeing various articles and news pieces about the idea that perhaps one doesn't have to exercise as much as one has been told, that perhaps shorter workouts can work equally well. And we just wanted to get your have you weigh in on that since you're an expert. But first of all, what's the state of Americans and exercise these days?
Well, Anne, we're still in the midst of an epidemic, really, of obesity or inactivity. And our latest data indicate that still about 70% of our nation is not getting the physical activity they should, and 70% of our country is overweight or obese. So it's still a significant problem. We thought the tide may be turning a little bit, but recent data suggests that we really are still on that path. So it's you know, if anything else was like this, we talk about bird flu, and rightly so, and we worry about some of these viral epidemics, but this truly is a generational epidemic. And if you look at the Centers for Disease Control, the data since the mid-1980s, it's striking how each state has increased the percent of overweight and obese individuals. So it truly is a crisis here. And interesting, I just came back from China. I was invited to speak as a lecturer there. And as China adopts more of our Western culture and food and technology becomes more prevalent in the population, they are starting to see some of the similar rates of obesity, especially in the large industrialized cities. So this is a global problem as well as a United States problem.
Wow, interesting. 70% of Americans, too. And is that across all age groups?
It really is. Childhood obesity has tripled over the years, and the sad part of that is about 70 to 80% of overweight children will go on to be overweight adults. So the habits of lifestyle, healthy lifestyle that we can introduce into our kids, the earlier we can do that, the better, because once they get those bad habits, it becomes a force that perpetuates throughout their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you explain, first of all, the sort of the traditional wisdom of how much exercise someone should get, and then contrast that with the sort of proposed newer, shorter workouts?
Well, I think, you know, it's been going through some change over time, and through the years we've probably heard some recommendations, or if you've gone to the doctor, they've probably given you some advice, oh, do 60 minutes a day, oh, do 30 minutes a day. We really tried to get this more scientific and almost in a manner, if you know, the food pyramid when it came out. It was a very concrete, tangible recommendation for what to eat. Well, actually, I served on the President's Council on Physical Fitness, and ourselves and along with a bunch of other groups got together and looked at the most valid and pertinent and well-done scientific studies of the time back in the late 2000s. And in 2008, the Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans came about. And these guidelines were a view of all the literature that had come out to that point regarding the effects of activity and exercise. And culling down all that research, that came to the recommendation of 150 minutes per week of moderate intense activity, or 75 minutes a week of vigorously intense activity to optimize your health benefit. And those seem to be the magic numbers of being both what we call cardioprotective, or protective for your heart system, and also protective against certain types of cancers. Mm-hmm. So 150 minutes a week of moderate, that's 30 minutes 5 days a week, or 75 minutes of vigorous. So even those ratings had a little bit of a slant toward, if you did more intense exercise, you could do less, with 75 minutes a week of vigorous exercise. So even that recognized in the data a tendency for more vigorous exercise to give maybe a little bit more bang for the buck. You know, we try to get away with as little as possible, and we always ask that question, well, how little can I get away with and still get that benefit? And I think that's what these articles that you've been reading lately have pointed toward, the minimalist workout, and what do you need to do, and how short an interval can you do it in to still be for it to still be effective and safe and still give you the benefit. We've had the principles that are talked about in a lot of these workouts for a long time, and they're called interval training. And we've had these in various sports and activities for many, many years. So it's not a new concept. But interval training is basically doing a very high intensity episode during your training route for a shorter period of time. So say about if there's a track athlete, they may be going at a moderate pace, but then for 60 to 90 seconds, they go 90% of what they can do, almost full out. And then they'll back off and they'll rest and they'll do another couple, 3 minutes at a moderate pace, and then they'll go into that interval again. So this has been a training that has been around for a while. Recent studies have shown that even incorporating this type of training in people just trying to get fit, and actually even before we used to think, oh, that might be bad for, say, the heart disease population or the cardiac population, now we're seeing that it's even quite safe to do, even in certain cardiac populations, this interval training routine. So the recent studies have shown that if you perform that type of training, it does give significant benefits for both your heart and lung system and for improving the efficiency of your workouts and actually helping you achieve some of the same benefits that longer duration training gave you.
So the shorter workouts that are being proposed, though, and I assume there's some research has been done, it sounds like you only have the kind of the high burst. You don't have the sort of more moderate stuff around it.
Yeah, a lot of them focus on very short duration, high burst activities with varying amounts of rest period. But you're right, a lot of the studies are actually done with very little rest, so they're actually focusing on a very short period of high intense activity. So, and you know, there's some positive results in some of these studies, but what we don't know is that if it's as effective long-term as that 150 minutes per week or 75 minutes per week on health parameters, long-term health parameters, say your heart health or your cancer risk profile. It needs to be researched further, but there's other things that exercise gives us. You may have heard of the term runner's high, mm-hmm. and that's when you do a sustained endurance event. Your body actually releases endorphins, which are the body's natural painkillers, in some cases 10 times more powerful than morphine. So these really help people with mood state, with feeling good. We give exercise to people with chronic pain as a prescription, actually, to feel better. So, and it still is yet to be proven whether the shorter bouts of very intense exercise can produce that. There has been shown to be benefits of exercise on mood state, on thinking clarity, even some research here on maybe protection or prophylaxis from dementia, on sleep quality. And again, do these shorter bouts of exercise give those same benefits? Weight loss, are we going to get as effective a weight loss with calorie burning with these very short, intense bursts of exercise? I don't think so. And really, in the literature, it shows even for weight loss, that 150-minute per week profile of exercise probably has to be taken up to about 300 minutes per week to get the calorie burning. So there may be some aspects that may not be addressed with these, the shorter duration, intense burst exercise.
Right. We're speaking with Dr. Edward Laskowski. He's co-director of the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center, and he's a professor at the medical school at the Mayo Clinic. We're talking with him about the new trend towards shorter workouts. I assume that professionals are suggesting this as a way to get people to do anything.
Absolutely. I think, something is better than nothing, and even in the physical activity guidelines, we've shown that as long as the exercise, in the guidelines, we used kind of 10 minutes as a magic marker. Usually if you did 10 minutes of sustained exercise, most of the research shows a very good benefit. So in essence, you can do 3 10-minute sessions instead of 1 30-minute and get the same benefit. So for people who have busy schedules, they can break it up through the day. They can do some at lunch, some when they wake up in the morning, some when they come home at night, and still get some benefit. And I think the more variety, the better. The more the variety the body experiences, the better. So, your body gets used to anything you do over time. And if you're doing the same thing to it, it'll adapt to that. Whereas if we can do these interval bouts, and if you have the physiology to do it, and that's one of the other things, is that you really want a base of exercise and activity that will handle the intense load. So, we don't want to have musculoskeletal injuries or stress fracture injuries or tissue overload injuries because we're doing very intense activity when we haven't done anything before. But if you're in an exercise pattern, introducing this type of interval training may be very effective conditioner and may be very efficient at maybe achieving a little bit more benefit and a little bit more bang for your buck as far as changing your physiology and making you better able to perform.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that you're described as an elite level skier and that you also hike and bike and climb. What kind of routine do you do? What do you recommend?
Well, kind of all of the above, and you know that's the one thing too. There's a social aspect of activity that I don't know, the shorter bouts may deliver as well. So you know, we do a lot as a family. I think really a role model. Parents are a role model to their kids. We've done multiple studies that show that, you know, no matter what we say, unless we do it, you know, kids aren't going to follow. So you can talk to your kids about honesty all you want, but if the phone rings and you say, "Tell them I'm not home," what does that say to your kid about honesty? Well, you can say, "Hey, I heard this great thing about activity and what you should be doing and all that." If we don't model that in our lives, our family likely won't do it. So we do stuff as a family. We walk a lot. We bike a lot. We hike together. We snow ski together, snowshoe together. So, you know, we make it a, you know, like after dinner, instead of sitting around the table, we'll go and walk, you know. So we're kind of weaving activity into our lifestyle so that it becomes a lifestyle habit. And that hopefully, you know, our kids, when they're older, will maintain that habit with their family and kind of continue those traditions. So I think that's one of the keys is weaving it into your life so that it isn't that, oh, I have to get in my car and drive 20 minutes and get in this treadmill and shower and then drive 20 minutes back and then I'm done. But everything we're doing, you know, so those old adages of parking further away and climbing the stairs and all that adds up. And, you know, again, during the day, maybe there's opportunities in the day to get those more intense bouts of exercise throughout your day so that we kind of get that type of benefit in our program. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got busy lifestyles and everybody's got a lot of things to do and a lot of stuff on their plate. So the more we can have an efficient workout, the better. But I think modeling activity and just weaving activity into our life is a good thing to do. And that's maybe even apart from these shorter duration workouts.
That's great, because that was going to be my last question to you is how can people integrate exercise better into their lives? And you just gave some good examples. Anything else you'd like to add on that?
You know, I think getting outside is great, and in Minnesota here, it's a tendency in the winter to hibernate, and there's certainly some things you could do. Technology has helped us with like Kinect systems and Wii systems, so we can get some activity in the house. But I think getting out in nature, I think there's something about being in nature, being in the environment, you know, being in God's creation. It's whether we're walking or we're, you know, snowshoeing in the winter, we're skiing, we're just doing stuff outside. I think that makes the winter go a little quicker. And we see a lot of people who kind of do stuff during the summer, and those winter months come around, and they, you know, they kind of decline. So getting stuff that you can do all year round. We also counsel people, there's really no one ideal exercise equipment piece, that you really have to look at you and who you are and what you like to do, what you find enjoyable, what do you find practical. Otherwise, you won't do it. You know, there's a bunch of Nordic tracks that are probably sitting and being used as coat racks, you know, because if you don't like that motion, if you don't like doing it, you know, you won't do it. So, you know, walking is just fine if you like to do that. You don't have to run marathons. Maybe you like biking. Maybe you like some other things. You know, certainly the thing like gardening and getting that walk in the golf course and all. Those are all good things, and those all add up. So, again, I think that instead of it's almost weaving a lifestyle of healthy living. Like we like to say, it's not a diet. It's really healthy eating. You know, diets don't work because they may work for a time, but then people gain stuff back. But if we learn healthy habits of, hey, I don't want to eat that, or I only want to eat a small amount of this, and I don't want to do that, and, you know, you're really maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Same thing with activity. If we kind of weave that activity throughout our day and our life and our families, you know, I think that's a key to kind of having it continue in our lives longer rather than just being a, you know, a short-term thing that, you know, there's a lot of people that join a health club January 1st who, you know, really don't go after January 21st. So
exactly. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've always felt like I want to get my activity as a byproduct of having fun at, you know, something I like.
Absolutely.
Rather than going, like you said, driving somewhere to do a specific thing or whatever.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Doctor. We really appreciate your time on a Friday evening, and good to hear your thoughts on this issue.
Thanks a lot, Anne. I appreciate it.